Somebody let me know that the people had questions about the stones, if you picked one up, and we're not having a stoning today at St. Thomas. Sorry. And they're not, as suggested by the vestry, a way for you to let me know when the sermon is too long. But we're going to use them in a little bit to remember people. So today is All Saints Day. It's a feast of the church. It's a time when we have two feasts actually that happen around this time, All Souls Day and All Saints Day. And it's a time when we remember the faithfully departed. And it might seem a little strange to do that, but it's also a time for us even just to remember those who've gone on in our own lives. It's a Sunday set apart in particular for that remembering. Who are the saints in your life? Who are the people that gave you a sense of your faith? You see, saints are really not necessarily extraordinary people. They're usually people that in a certain set of circumstances show forth faith and the ability to continue believing in very difficult times. If we think of St. Francis or all kinds of different saints that go through there, they happen to be people that rise up at a particular time in a particular place to offer that faith. All Souls Day is a day we remember the people that we don't remember, right? Who maybe weren't in those exact same moments. But let's talk about why else we might remember them. In today's gospel, we have the story of Martha and Mary coming to Jesus and pleading with him about Lazarus. They're pleading because they've lost a loved one. And Jesus' first response to them is what? Jesus weeps, has compassion, and loves them in their pain. Think about that for a minute. The God that we follow, Jesus has compassion in the midst of our suffering. Now, if you were to take one of these stones, and these are river stones, so they're worn. But if we were to think of our own lives as lives that are worn, or if we were to think of a saint's life or another faithful person that we remember, their lives are worn, correctly? Correct? We get worn down by all the different things that happen in our life. And there's a whole lot more to the story, isn't there? Than just what we might see in front of us. I'm constantly amazed as a priest when I get to know people on a deeper level of the stories that begin to emerge from the people in the congregation as they tell the different things that have happened to them in their lives and how life has worn them down in some way. A couple of years ago, some of us from St. Thomas and some others went to the Holy Land and we toured places in Israel and in Jordan. And I was constantly amazed wherever we went at the number of things that were worn down stones. The thing about traveling in that part of the world is pretty much anywhere you go, if you move the dust, something happened there of great historical significance. Every site that we would go to, there might be an Egyptian settlement that had once been there, or a Roman settlement, or a Hittite settlement, or some other settlement. And if you look around long enough, you'd find a church that was erected sometime later as Christianity began to be prominent in that part of the world. But without fail, they were worn and fallen over. And you'd walk through and all you could see is just that place that had been something at one point. And now all we had were a few remains. One particular place that really struck me, because I thought it was strange to find a church in this place, is Asada, which is a mountain that's next to the Dead Sea. In that part of the world, there's not much alive, really. It's rocky, it's sandy, it's dry. The water that's in the Dead Sea is completely useless for drinking or planting or doing anything. It's got so many chemicals in it. And it's a place where there's no rain, maybe a couple of inches throughout the year. It's not really habitable. And yet up on this mountain, there was once a Jewish settlement that was a holdout for many years against the Romans. And somebody sometime a little bit later built a church on top of there. And so when you're going through and you're hearing all this history, you walk over to a corner And there are mosaics with Christian symbols and walls and the remnants of an altar. And as you dig a little deeper, you find out there were some monks that decided to reside in that place, and there was a faith community that would worship. And you listen a little further, and they tell you the stories about how they collected water, because the first question you have is, how do they make it? This is, no plumbing. And they cleverly devised a system where whenever it rained, the water would come down the mountain, and they built ravines, and the water would be rushed in, and it would go into these great big giant holes that they dug, and they'd be able to store water for the next year. Clever. But we can't really know the story. All we see is the remnant. And I'd love to dig a little deeper and to find out what those communities were like and who were the people that were there and how did they believe and how would they have listened to this gospel story and what would they have thought of it and why did they decide to live in the middle of the desert where life is really not very present. But it's kind of hard to get underneath that. I wonder what people might say about us in 700 years. Maybe they'll come here and they'll dig around and they'll find a concrete slab. Or they might find some of our art buried under something else, we'll forget about it, or maybe some pieces of our stained glass. Maybe the building will still be standing. The plaster, the wood, the steel, the brick. It's hard for us to know, but I wonder if they were to look at the well-worn stone that's our congregation and our faith community, what they might find and the stories they might hear. So when I say we went and we found a church, we really didn't find a church, we found a building. We found the remains of what was once a sanctuary and a nave and a narthex and all those fancy liturgical words that we use. But we didn't find the people who are really the church. And sometimes I think when we think about the church, we think of a building, or we think of a place. And we have set aside this place as a community to say, this is the place that we'll come to worship God. This is the place where we'll come to celebrate the joys of our life, to mourn the losses in our life, to pray, to eat. We built a kitchen, so. To do all those things, to study, to learn, and we set it aside. But really, the church is us, the people who gather in this place. And without the people, there is no church. There's only a building. The stories of faith that we hear from the saints are sometimes what inspire us or encourage us to have faith ourselves. Who were your saints in your life that gave you faith? I've had the chance to talk to you in sermons before about certain people, Marilyn White, Virginia Amon, Dick McCandless, Lynn Evans, others that were inspiring people, Bede Mudge, others that had a particular meaningful moment in my life in which they gave me a sense of faith. They offered me something. And the key about that is that through the weariness of life, through both the joys and the difficult times, that faith is central. But if it hadn't been given to me, if someone hadn't offered to teach me those things about what it means to follow Christ, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to do all those things, then I wouldn't have that in my life. And I'd be oh so much less. So maybe part of the challenge as we gather for All Saints Day, while we remember those who've gone before who had faith, is to hear the call from them and from God to have faith ourselves. And to remember that a church is always more than the building, but it's the people that are gathered. And it's in our moments of celebration, of mourning, of baptism, of marriage, of confirmation, of ordination, of prayer, and of support to one another. It's in all those moments that the story of the saints come alive. So we should remember those who were worn down by life but held their faith. But we have to tell the story. We have to tell others. So I'd ask that you pray about that this week as you think about your own ministry and your own opportunity to tell your faith story. And what will people say about you as they hold a rock to remember you and the faith that you could have given them? Amen.